Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew. And in our relationship Monday, we talked about the things men hate to see women wear. This was a really interesting one, because we generally don't talk about stuff like this. Well, the first thing they talked about is they hate to see women wear shoes they cannot walk in. Now, I gotta say I agree. Nothing is worse than watching a woman walk around in some shoes that she cannot walk in. Comfortably, properly, whatever you want to call it. She's bumbling and stumbling around and look like she about to fall all over the place. Yo, you know, like I said yesterday, I had a friend many years ago, and she was kind of on the thick side, and her, you know, the man she was seeing wanted her to have this long flowing hair. He wanted her to have these high heel shoes on. And she'd have to walk from the train station and to the train station with these shoes on. And possibly even stand on the train. It wasn't guaranteed we'd get a seat, and she'd have these shoes, and she could walk, but I mean, it was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. And, you know, you got to be careful of, you know, when people put these kind of mandates on you. I mean, because that was hard. That was quite hard. Alrighty. Well, what about the fact that they hate the Uggs? They think Uggs are ugly. Now, I remember when Uggs first came out, I used to call them the Alice the Goon boots, because they were so big and they looked so heavy on a woman's foot. And, I mean, I was like, wow. And you would see women wear them with dresses, with pants. It didn't matter. They'd have those Uggs on. Well, men have officially stated that they hate women wearing those ugly Uggs. Well, what about the fact they say that they hate to wear women, they hate to see women wear shoes that don't fit? Well, they definitely talked about this one yesterday. Either the toes are coming out the front of the shoe, which I never understood. That cannot be comfortable. Or the shoes are too big. And that there, that looks ridiculous. When a woman is marching around in her shoes, because that's the only way she can keep the shoes from falling off her feet. Yeah, because they about to come off her feet because they too big. Or you hear them plop, plop. Yeah, my goodness gracious. What else did they say? Let's get one more. Okay. They talked about hair accessories. Now, the men in the article talked about those thin headbands. And, you know, women can wear some hair accessories that look a little weird to some. And I guess men are paying attention to everything. Well, hey. Now you're finally hearing it, ladies. Now, some women may say, listen, it's my comfortability. It's my feet. This is how I want to spend my money, as long as I spend my money. I mean, to each his own. To each his own. You know, I don't know if you want to pay attention to this list. I don't know if you don't want to pay attention to this list. But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a truly interesting list to hear just flat out what men said that they did not like to see women wear. All righty. Well, here's the funny part. When it comes to women, they definitely will tell the man what it is that they don't like. Oh, yeah, you let him put on something that she don't like. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And she's not going to be nice about it. No, I don't see that happening very often. All right. Wow. We had our switch tip yesterday. Yep, the switch with Shantice. Do not become spiritually blind. Now, this is interesting because when I think of, if I keep it in, you know, contained to men and women, you know, this can definitely have some effect on the way you see things. Yeah. You don't think so? Yeah, it does. You know, there are many ways you can become spiritually blind. And one of the things is when you put something or someone before God. It wipes away everything. And I have definitely seen when a man has put a woman before God, or when a woman has put a man before God, and now this has wiped away all of your natural view for God. Now, I don't know how much sense that makes, but yeah, trust me, I've seen this happen. There are many ways, but being that we're talking about this, you know, the things that men hate, and, you know, things that women hate about a man, this is definitely something that can make you spiritually blind. when you put something or someone before God, it can definitely take away your view of all of the godly things, all of the things that God has actually shown you, and now what you see is jaded. Now whatever, you know, he or she says, like, you know what, I always wondered about that. You know, if he says something, you know, hey, you know, I don't really think it's really like that. Now, before he came along, you were fine. Before she came along, you were fine. You read the scripture. You saw things clearly. God was able to reach you. You know, you were following the Lord, and all of a sudden, once you started smelling someone else's oats, man, oh, man, oh, man, the things of God became cloudy. You began to question everything that the Word of God says. You began to question everything that the pastor says. Oh, yeah. You never seen anybody like that? It happens. So you want to make sure you keep your eye on the prize. You want to make sure you stay prayed up. You want to make sure you stay in the Word of God, and you make sure you meditate on God's Word day, night, afternoon, mid-morning, dusk, dawn, 24 hours a day you meditate on God's Word. Because any time you take a break or a long pause, man, the enemy will creep himself inside that crack or crevice and really put some doubt up in your head. And it's been going on since the beginning of time. So you're not going to make a difference. Okay? Okay? Well, go back and listen to yesterday's episode. It was good. It was good. Okay? Made you think. Some thought-provoking things. All right? All right. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And you know what we're doing. We're in the midst of my two cents. And we got some stuff to talk about, all right? So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Well, they all seem to have forgotten about me.
Very good, my sweet little...
It was the loveliest garden you ever saw.
Sweet little...
Mom, it's Lucy. Everything is normal until it's not. Learn the signs and know that you're not alone.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Okay? And we are in the season of My Two Cents. Yes, we're reviewing Kingdom Business Season 2. episodes 5 and 6. Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome to My Two Cents, the film and TV review by Stu Time with Pastor Steph. Yes, and we are reviewing Kingdom Business Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6. And that would be, Broken People and Fear is Not My Future. Now, I have to tell you, these two episodes were quite interesting and definitely was a step up in intensity in some of the areas. Where last we left episodes 3 and 4 we reviewed last week, when we closed down on episode 4 last week, Essence had gotten into a really bad car accident, and that had taken place after she and Taj had gotten into an argument. So, you know, they were talking about the baby and the marriage and stuff, and so you really didn't know where this story was going to go, because you know, these shows are doing all kinds of things. They are going in all different types of directions, and I was really interested in where they were going to actually take this story, you know. You know how we do. Shantice always gives us our start. So let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
That's good. I'm well, thank you. I am well, thank you. So, you know, I was really interested in where they were going to go last week when, you know, Essence had gotten into the car accident, and, you know, they showed that it was pretty bad. And, you know, these shows these days, you don't know what the writers are doing. And I was like, okay, where are we going? So why don't you give us our little start to episode 5?
Yeah, so one of the things that really stood out for the start of episode 5 was the wardrobe. And not just because of how it looked, but what it symbolizes and what it can symbolize. And what really caught my attention was Danita's wardrobe. You know, after she asked Calvin to, you know, come together, get the family together in prayer so they can pray for Essence and, you know, the baby, and praying that everything is okay. And I'm just looking at this, the outfit with the cape was just killing me. And at first it was just about the appearance. And I'm like, this cape is killing me. Like, you're in your house. And I mean, even outside it was killing me, but especially because you're in. And I have a thing where, and it could just be me, but I have a thing with whatever show I'm watching, even back in, you know, the 90s sitcoms that we love and grew up on. It's like, who walks around their house fully clothed all the time? And I understand it's TV. I understand it's TV. At the same time, I think y'all can make it a little more realistic. You know, no one walks around with heels in their house all the time with nowhere to go. And I was looking at this cape, and I'm like, okay, now it's just more about the appearance. It's what it symbolizes. And, you know, now that she's not in this whole era of, you know, I've lost my memory. I'm not sure of who's who and what's what and what's happening and what's going on. Your demeanor comes from your attire a lot of the time. And this whole you wearing a cape around the house, and stuff, it just shows the dominance that you're trying to have, you know, that you're trying to possess again. And that's where her character is again. You know, this whole, well, I have to make it be known who I am and this, that, and the third, so on and so forth. And I'm just like, you know, people don't understand that you, without you realizing or trying sometimes, and sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's subconscious, that you're feeding this ego a lot of times based on what you wear. And I don't know, that for some reason that just really, really, really stood out, especially with that being the start of the episode and, you know, them starting out with not being too sure as to, you know, it was a touch and go with the baby's health, not so much of Essence's health. But yeah, that for some reason that just really, really, really stood out to me.
I thought it was me. You know, sometimes, you know, you notice these things and, you know, you're kind of, you know, you got your little idiosyncrasies and things that. But I think the same thing, and I'm like, okay, does anybody ever get comfortable in their home? They're fully dressed. You know, I don't know one woman who comes in the house and she does not start undressing at the door. She doesn't start changing her clothes at the door. And it kind of puts you, you know, in a different mode. It puts you in a relaxed mode. It puts you in a different headspace. And it allows you to kind of shake off the fact that, you're outside. Whatever's going on, the outside is the outside. So, you know, I thought it was just me. And I'm like, well, not only are they walking around in the house with their shoes on, you know, high heel shoes, but they're fully dressed. So nobody's ever in a relaxed mode. So nobody's always going to be coming to your house. So I thought it was just me.
Right.
But, you know, with CJ, you know, she's the one kind of giving the information as to and the update as to what's going on. And, you know, I didn't know where we were going to go, like I said. And, you know, so needless to say, we did not go to, you know, she lost the baby and, you know, Taj is there with her at the hospital. And, you know, she's got this bruise on her face. So that's the conversation, you know, because, you know, she's thinking about her looks and, you know, that stuff is important to her. So I'll give our brother Ainsley an opportunity to take us. You know, brother Ainsley does. He always pushes us a little further in. Hey, good morning, brother Ainsley.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Shantice. I'm listening.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm up. It's early Tuesday morning.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir. So, what's for your opening of episode 5?
You know what? You're right. How they end the episode with a cliffhanger. And I was wondering, okay, what's going to happen? And actually, I was kind of thinking either one or two things. They're going to kill Essence off, so then Todd, he got free reign to go after Rebel. Or at least she's going to lose the baby. In which case, then, because I think that's the only real reason why he's engaged to marry Essence in the first place. So, and so I figured, okay, if she loses the baby, then, all right, then that's his out. But, of course, that didn't happen. And right off the top, it was like, okay, she's okay. She's just in the hospital. You're right. This episode, you know, these two episodes, they were kind of meaty. A lot of stuff was going on. A lot of different storylines in it and stuff like that. But let's stick with the Essence. You know, it seems, I don't know if did y'all catch this or not, you know, after a while when she realizes, you know, she had the scare and then ran the test to make sure she's going to be okay and the baby's going to be okay. And she was thinking, like, the universe and God and
Brother Ainsley. I'm sorry. Huh? Oh, how we get all the way there? Now, I know you pushed the episode, but goodness gracious, we got like 900 things to happen.
There's so many things to talk about. All right, okay.
Okay, go ahead. Don't let me stifle you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, but, you know, it seems like, okay, yeah, I did take it quite a bit far.
Yeah, I'm like, well, we are halfway in episode already. Okay, go ahead.
You know, but you see this dynamic that, you know, she's still thinking outside of the church, if you will, you know, thinking universe, yet at the same time, you see that a rebel, she said, you know, at one point, you know, yeah, I did pray for the three of you, the three of you, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it seemed like she's coming closer to her faith and Rebel is like a totally opposite, you know, this dynamic and stuff going on between them. All right. I thought it was interesting that SNC tells Taj, she really doesn't want him to work with Rebel anymore.
Okay, no. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to definitely stop you there.
Because
we're almost at the end now. Shantice, should we just, like,
that
shut his mic
episode.
Off?
That was
I know! We're about to shut your mic off. We're about to shut your mic off for real.
Oh, that's the second episode. My bad.
You know,
my bad.
Where your notes at? Oh, my goodness gracious. You're going to have to keep some notes. Because next you'll be in episode, like, 9, and we'll be, like, haven't even looked at the show yet. Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, let me get to my notes.
Wait a minute. You're trying to do this by memory? Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. Here, let's talk about the fact that I'm going to put you in a specific spot. Let's talk about the fact that Danita acknowledges that she has, you know, her memory's been restored. She tells Calvin that her memory and, you know, and everybody, okay, officially my memory's been restored and I did it so that, you know, Caesar's lawsuit would be put off a little further, and Calvin's response to the fact that she's revealing and CJ is pretending like she don't know. She doesn't know that, you know, this is even an issue. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that first, Brother Ainsley.
Yeah, she just came clean. And, right, so CJ, you know, yeah, right, CJ was like, yeah, okay. Really? You got your memory back? Wow. But interesting, Calvin, you know, he questioned her, like, well, when did you know? Why come you didn't tell us? And yeah, she's right because, you know, she overheard him talking about the lawsuit from Caesar. So it would be in the best interest to play along with his her amnesia. And didn't I say that from the beginning? I said, yep,
yeah,
she's faking it. She's faking it.
Yeah, she's definitely faking it. She did. Yeah. You know, the thing that I thought was kind of interesting in this particular area was the fact that he then begins to question anything she said. You know, remember, they had started kind of getting close you know, stepping into some area that they hadn't been in. And now this kind of puts into question everything that she said for him. So it looks like he's a bit heartbroken over the fact that, you know, she was faking, because now he has to wonder, well, you know, is our closeness even real anymore?
Right. He does ask her, what you said, was it real? Right.
Right. Right, right,
right. Right, right. Okay, yeah.
So before you take us to the cliffhanger of episode 9, Shantese, let's talk about the fact that now they are, you know, wondering if, you know, the baby is disabled. You know, they do kind of take us on this little journey of, you know, is the baby okay? You know, Brother Ainsley went past that part as well. But What does that do for you in the storyline as you're watching?
Well, first I was trying to figure out how she had all this. She wasn't as bad as she could have been physically, but I'm like, how she ain't got one broken nail?
Okay.
But then,
okay.
You're talking about the baby, because again, you know, I pay attention to certain details with the baby. I assumed that there was going to be, you know, potentially something wrong with the fetus, you know, especially because of the way we saw her positioned, you know, at the end of episode 4. And I knew that it was definitely going to now add even more tension, because already it was the tension of, oh, you really don't want to marry me, and, you know, so on and so forth. So now with the baby potentially being jeopardized now, it's like, oh, gosh, now here's something else. And, you know, it was good to see that there was no vanity in essence at that point. You know, like, it was all about her really being concerned about the baby. You know, when she started crying, it was like she's really crying because the baby could possibly, you know, she could miscarry. You know, and it was just like that was good to see, because all we see from her and hear from her is vanity. You know, it's all about her image, all about her looks, all about this wedding, all about, you know, her relationship. It's all about sex, you know, so that, unfortunately, you know, she was crying because, you know, the baby could possibly be harmed. But it was good to see, like, while she does have the capacity to really care about something outside of herself, you know, so with seeing that and, you know, having that kind of touch and go with the doctors, and, you know, it possibly put Taj's feelings in perspective, you know, because, like, yeah, I proposed because my grandmother's trying to do this arranged marriage, and, you know, I would like my child to grow up, you know, with a family and not just us co-parenting, but now I almost lost you. Now we can almost lose a baby. I actually really do care about you. I could actually see myself, you know, being with you for real, for real. So to see that, it was just like more wow on Essence part, because we've never seen that from her before.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought that there would be more damage to her as well. No, I'm not looking for coma or anything like that, but definitely, you know, maybe a bruised arm or, you know, whatever. The only thing you have is this cut on her eye. And you do see some vanity at some point, not as extreme as it actually could be. Mm-hmm. You know, she starts talking about this cosmetic surgery and, you know, the fact mm-hmm. that, you know, her face, you know, can, you know, for pictures and, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, she's worried about being in front of the camera. And then to the point of, you know, pushing it further a little bit where, you know, the doctor speaks of the fact that the baby could be disabled and her admitting that she's really not up for this, you know, disabled mother journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, disabled baby.
Yeah, and that.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me when she was considering aborting mm-hmm. the baby. That didn't surprise me at all. And I actually commend that, you know, no one wants, especially as Christians, you know, abortion should not, but she ain't no Christian. But it was all about the transparency, you know, and mm-hmm. again, it wasn't about keeping up this facade. It wasn't about our relationship. It was really about me understanding, like you said, me understanding who I am, where I am. I'm not, like she said, I'm not ready to give up my career because I understand that this is going to take all of me to now tend to a child who would need me more than, you know, a child who was healthy. So when mm-hmm. she was considering aborting, I was like, that's not a shock. But then how many men and women, you know, they're not honest with themselves or with their mate to say anything, you know, in regards to that. Now the baby is here, healthy or not, and now all the feelings spill out, you know,
right.
at that point. So that
right.
I actually was like, you know, and she said it so humble, like it was so humble. It didn't come out like, well, listen, I ain't fitting to take
right.
care of no disabled child, you know. Like, because that's how she normally comes off. There's very little humility within her, even when she's not all rah-rah. But for it to even come out so humble, I commended her also. I was like, wow, that was actually said and done with class. And I think that's why Taja's reaction wasn't – that's why it was the way it was. Because even though
right.
it's like, I'm not trying to hear that, I'll give up whatever I got to give up. I think because she said it where I just really have to be honest with you and with myself. And you could tell, like, it possibly hurt her to even say it, you know,
right.
like for me to even feel this and think this hurts me. But listen, if we doing this, we're the parents, I got to be real. So that, I actually commended her for that.
Okay, I know. It was a lot to say, and I actually
mm-hmm.
was like, wow, she said it. That I was like kind of taken a little by surprise
mm-hmm.
myself that, okay, you know what, she's not going to pretend. Because I thought, based on this whole she's dying to get married to Taj, she'll pretend like she's willing
mm-hmm.
to do anything. But I was really surprised, and I'm coming to you, Brother Ains, about this response that Taj has
mm-hmm.
and her, what do you call it, the feeling that she does, she says, you know, I'm willing to slow down, you know, on my career, but I'm not willing to give it up. And, you know, I'm willing to get rid of this. And he says, you know, hey, you know, I'll step back and I'll let you do you and I'll be the primary caregiver. What do you feel about, you know, the fact that he was willing to actually go that distance?
You know what? To me, it sounded good for him. But to me, it was just lip service. But what else are you going to say? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you right? You know what I'm saying? He has to, it's this whole image, because to me, the bottom line is he's really only with her because she's pregnant. And, you know, so he ain't going to just, you know, he ain't going to just walk out like that. So it's lip service. It means, I mean, I think in his heart he means well, but you know, it's only the circumstances. He's just going through the motion because of the circumstance that he's in. He's not going to say, yeah, right, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I think I think that's the right way to go. That is the appropriate response, really. But the bottom line, I don't think his heart deep down, there's feeling and care for her. But ultimately, that's if you could change it, he would not be in the situation. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to me, that's what thing he's supposed to say, and I'm in that particular moment. He's supposed to show support and love and caring, you know, for your unborn child and stuff. Of course, you don't want, he ain't going to say, yeah, okay, I hear you. Yeah, I think we might as well just go ahead and just abort this right now. No, he said what was appropriate to say at the moment. But I really think when I'm watching it, I was like, okay, this is really lip service. I mean, he does, there's a certain level of care in it, but I'm like, yeah, okay, man. I'm not really feeling all of that, really.
Okay. All right, interesting. Let's kind of push forward to some things I want to say for the church folks segment. Now, we kind of get into some interesting curve here. Last week, we spoke about, what's her name, Rebel, and her singing, you know, the gospel to the, you know, secular music, from the secular to the gospel. And now we see that she's actually singing the gospel music, I'm sorry, the secular music, and she's not feeling it. She's constantly talking about, you know, when she's singing Caesar's music, you know, how that's making her feel and how Caesar's music is changing lives. And I'll give you the start on this one, Brother Ainsley.
Yeah. At first, okay, when she's in the studio with, what's the guy's name, X?
X, yeah.
He's not feeling, he says, do it again. The whole dynamic of the relationship, to me, it kind of comes into play, you know, in there, because it's like, okay, it ain't getting no better. She's doing it over and over again. She's singing the same way. She ain't feeling it. And to me, she got a lot of nerve to tell X, well, I like how things were going over at Caesar. Because I'm like, I'll be the same way too then. If you liked it so much, why are you over here? You know? you know, so it wasn't working. But you see her, I guess, all of her teachings, if you will, is starting to take root, so to speak. It's starting to take root that there's a meaning. But yet, I still, to me, it's like you still, you know, you go and you sing with X, yet at the same time, you singing gospel at the same time. It was like really back and forth. At one point, I thought, because when she goes to some kind of event with X, and there's the news guy or the interviewer and stuff like that, I thought it was going to kind of blow up her spot. Okay, how are you the gospel artist, but yet now you with this producer on the secular side? You know, I thought
he
was going to kind of blow up
something like that. He does say something like that to her.
Right, I thought he was going to kind of even blow it up even more than that. So it's kind of going back. Yeah, you're going back and forth. It was like at one point to me, I was like, come on, girl, please make up your mind. Come on now.
okay. Well, you know, we talked about her toggling back and forth and the fact that her heart really wasn't in it, you know, this whole gospel thing. And, you know, she was kind of pushed and, you know, Caesar's kind of nudging her in the gospel arena, but her heart wasn't in it. And to see this transition take place, Shantice, is like what to you?
I was dying the first time she said it, and she caught herself. And she was like, I don't get it. And I was trying to figure out what he was looking for, because as a singer, I understand, and this is one of the reasons why I'm happy I write my own songs, but as a singer, I understand, you know, when you're singing someone else, you know, music, someone else's lyrics, you know, they're listening for something. But I'm sitting there like, what are you expecting from this song? Like, so when she started singing, are you paying attention to the lyrics that Q wrote? What are you expecting me to give out of this? And like she said, the song wasn't really saying anything. So when she said, you know, I'm not really feeling this, so it's not really doing it, because, like, it's not like the song I sing with Caesar. And by the time she got to the end of his name, she caught herself like, wait, whoa, okay, because those were the same words he would say to her. And it wasn't to big himself up, but he was saying to her, this is why you're singing this genre, not this is why you're singing the song that I wrote or the song that so-and-so wrote, but this is why, because the gospel genre is all about, I mean, all of the music, I don't care which genre it is, you're supposed to sell the music. But we all know, especially with God's music, you really have to feel it. And if you think about last season, every single person he brought in to work with her spoke to her about feeling the message God had within whatever song they were coaching her through. So I literally started cracking up when she slipped and said it, because it was like, aha, this is what God has been trying to show you. And while you were looking for the glitz and the clout and the money and all of that, none of that means anything, obviously, because X has access to all of that. But yet, you're looking to have the feeling you had with the person who you didn't feel was getting you anywhere. And these are the things that, you know, you have to realize, and this is why, you know, and we even see it in this show, why the music industry sucks now. Because it's all about money and clout and if I could walk the red carpet and all of that. What does it matter if your music has no foundation or substance? It means nothing. So now everybody's wasting money, studio time, personal time. You're getting upset because now you see that you actually want value. Now you realize that I actually want to get something out of this outside of money and attention. I actually want to feel what I'm singing. And now this matters in a whole different realm. But I thought it was hilarious.
Well, it's you know, I was waiting for this to happen because, again, you know, like you said, this has been the message this entire time. You know, it's been said over and over and over and over again. And finally, I was like, yes, she's finally feeling what she's singing. You know, and that's the way God does you. You know, it's going to sneak up on you. And so I was really kind of glad to see that, you know, she caught herself, because that way I'm like, okay, now she's got an opportunity now to kind of hone in to what she's saying, hone in to what you're feeling. So I really thought, I was really happy at, you know, that happened, because like I said, we had spoken about that before, and, you know, she had been underestimating, you know, all of, you know, what they were saying would eventually happen if she continued to sing this gospel music. So that was a nice curve, and especially being that we were talking about this last week, it was a nice immediate curve. Nothing that they took too long to really show. Now, let's move into an area that when I tell you this came out of nowhere for me, I don't know about you two, and I give you an opportunity to say so, but there's this, you know, all during this episode up to this point, there's been a lot of chatter about, you know, when the show opens up, the show, yeah, the episode, kind of in the beginning of the episode, it said that, you know, Danita had been faking. You know, reliable sources say that Danita was faking her amnesia. And when CJ's husband ends up being the one who drops the ball and lets everybody know, I was so thrown because I cannot see the connection. And this is one of the things that I was kind of like, I was a little annoyed at, because I'm like, all right, please, yeah, let it have been someone like a Sasha or someone who had an angle. It, to me, there was no connection. Now, maybe you two can bring the connection, but to me, I think they had come too far in his taking care of Danita and, you know, watching over her during the time she was in the hospital, and it seemed to be the genuine concern about her. Doesn't mean that, you know, you don't forget how people hurt your feelings or how people may have done this or that to you. But I was really thrown when it came out that he was the one who told and made the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
What about you,
yeah.
Brother Ainge?
Yeah, I was surprised too, because, and then, you know, we got a sense that CJ, she had an idea, like, wait a minute, I think, let me find out, let me check something, who could do, because I was like, who's a snitch, who's a snitch?
Right.
I thought it was, and I thought it was Sasha. I said, okay, how would she know? But I figured it got to be her and whatnot. But when she come and realized that it was him, I was kind of thrown too. But I was like, okay, I think you remember, I think in the previous season and episodes, I guess, you know, Danita, you know, she disregarded him, I guess, one of his songs and for him singing and stuff like that. So I guess, you know, for he's been harboring this resentment all this time and stuff like that. But he snitched out, and he snitched out badly. I mean, because besides just being a snitch, but the damage you do to your own marriage, though.
Right.
And you're talking about doing
to
your, you know, to your wife's mother and stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's really, and that's really highly confidential and stuff like that. So, of course, it's no wonder CJ, you know, it erodes her trust in him. And so, I mean, was it really worth it, really? But I was surprised because, you know, they was talking about going through the adoption, you know, getting a baby, I guess a child and stuff like this. And you go and you do this, man. And it was like, and after you done took care of her and all this kind of, they needed and stuff. And I was kind of thrown by it. I was like, oh, my gosh, why you do that, man? Come on, man.
Really, bro?
It really
didn't make, to me, it was really disconnected. And like you said, Brother Ainsley, I thought about the previous season where, you know, she was really mean to him, blah, 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 blah. But my thought was, you know, he says, I tried to get it back. I tried to cancel it, Shantice. Now, I don't know how you thought. Had you made, you intentionally called the gossip column to tell them, and you know this is going to be hot news, why, you know, why would you even go that route? But again, it's a 5 minutes too late to try to pull it back. What do you think?
I actually love the twist because these episodes have become so predictable. Sasha was too predictable because she's messy. So, of course, naturally you would expect it to come from her. When CJ was sitting there with her face like, oh, snap, could it be? I had no idea. He was the furthest person from my mind. So I loved that scene because it actually had some suspense. Like, I really couldn't guess anything. So I love that. So when, you know, the husband walked in, I was like, oh, she's, you know, thinking him. And I agree. I don't know how you thought you called the shade room and thought you were now going to retract your statement. Well, one of the things that really stands out to me is, and, you know, Brother Angie just brought it up, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, keeping this appointment too with the adoption agency and all that. People keep thinking they can overturn God's decision. They have been trying to have a child for how long? You know, in real lifetime, it could have been years. In our time, it's a whole season ago. We've been witnessing them going through miscarriages and, you know, whatever else they've been experiencing. And this could have been one of the reasons why God did not allow them to have a child. Just because you're married does not mean you're supposed to be a parent at all, or maybe during this time. Because how are you now going to focus on being proper parents and one of your parents is shady? Now this takes all the fun. You see how quick now the abortion appointment is null and void, right? You can't have a child and now you abandon feeding the child, spending time with the child, taking care of the child, because now you got to attend to the fact that your husband is a snitch. He's an op, as they say in the street. You can't take time away from the baby. So now you got to focus on how is my husband now going to deal with this child? Are you going to keep secrets from me when it comes to this child? Are you now going to teach my child to be an op? Like, see, all these things are valid concerns. But y'all keep thinking that y'all can go and get surrogates and y'all can go get this in vitro and push issues to be parents. And God is trying to prevent that because he's saying there are more important matters here, something more important that you have to deal with than becoming parents. And I'm like, I really hope people are paying attention to this, because I really doubt they're going to that adoption appointment now or anytime soon. And I want to know, how serious do you think somebody – so he stormed out the office and smacked the papers off the desk like somebody did something to him. But then you got on high waters, bro. Can't nobody take you serious. Like, you really mad, and we can see your ankles. Like, I'm going to need you to – how you doing this and we supposed to be parents? How you doing? We supposed to be parents. If people don't analyze things enough. Don't analyze things enough. You cannot, because if you have to go to my child's school, and, you know, sometimes the parents are justified in being upset, especially with the things we hear that's going on in these schools nowadays. If we both had to go up to the school and you did this in the principal's office, I'm going to be sitting looking at you laughing. Because now I'm like, how serious do you think the principal is taking you? And I'm not taking you seriously. All these things you have to pay attention to. But that was one of the things that really, really stands out to me. Like, we have to stop pushing the issue, because where, look at all the time they've been married, she would have never thought he would have done anything like that. And I love how she termed it when he said, "Is this how you look at me?" And she said, "Yes." Because all I see is someone who is waving his hand, screaming for attention, and that's all that is. Anytime somebody goes to the blog, it is all for attention, and I loved it, because I was like, she stepped out of being his wife, because you done made it real now. So you want real? You want street? I'm going to give you street. I ain't your wife right now. I'm going to have to tell you how you look. I'm going to have to tell you who you are. I loved it. I love this.
That
whole thing is crazy.
I actually love the response as well. You know, when she, first of all, it was a mystery to all of us who were viewing this, because if you remember, the only people that knew was Darlene, the mother, that she was faking, and CJ. And that's why it, like when you said, Brother Ainsley, you know, well, how would Sasha know? Because that's what everybody was thinking. It's like, well, it was only the two of you. The two of you are not going to tell this because there was so much at risk to finding, you know, this being exposed. So when she says, "I confided in you," and it was like, ooh, that stung. That stung. Because now it's like, yo, you the one closest to me. You knew what this could do to the entire equation of us coming back. We just got finished doing this whole interview to kind of put the family back together again in the public's eye, us together, you know, make us cohesive again as a family, blah, 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 blah. You knew all of this. And how could you, of all people, do something that could be so damaging? So I, too, really liked when, you know, she came back and she was like, yeah, because this is an attention getter. And I really did. I really liked that as well because, you know, it really showed, you know, she's paying attention to, you know, who this is and to show how, what's the word I want to use, how infantile he is. You know, it's like, well, how you get there? You know, that's my tagline. How we get here? How we get here to you literally picking up a phone? And you couldn't even say, punk, that, yo, man, I was talking to my boy, and it kind of slipped out. You couldn't even say that. You literally picked up a phone and really ratted this whole information out. And how could you possibly think that we could be considering parenthood right about now? Because that show ain't happening. So it was very good. And I'm really glad to see, you know, she was willing to stand up and, you know, kind of put an end to this whole thing. I think it's a very interesting statement you made, Shantice, you know, about, you know, becoming, you know, pushing this parenting when God has other things that need to be worked out, because it's true. It's very true. Pushing forward. Very interesting. We now have this whole thing with Darlene firing Danita and taking her, you know, to task about, you know, the fact that she was lying and she wasn't holding everything down and blah, 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 blah. Was that a little extreme to you, brother? I want to just take a quick second to kind of go through this because I definitely want to discuss some stuff about the church folk. But I want to talk about this really quickly because it flips also, which I thought it was really an interesting thing. So what do you think about that whole Darlene and kicking, you know, Danita, having her escorted out and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, I was like, really? You going to actually have security throw your own daughter out the building? Are you really taking it to that level? Was that really warranted? I mean, to me, it was like clearly way over the top. I mean, it's one thing. It's bad enough you going to tell her, all right, you fired.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm,
then to tell
mm-hmm.
you, no, you got to leave the building. And matter of fact, here's security to take you out. I thought that was really over the top, man. I think it was like, that was a little bit, you didn't have to go that far. But I think it prompted what was to happen later on. You know, you see, if you want to take it to extremes, all right, we want to go to extremes, all right, well, we're going to go to extremes, you know. And, you know, and that played out. So, yeah, I thought it was way over the top, man. I think you really have to go there. I saw the security guard. I'm like, why is he in the picture? I'm like, he going to take her out, really?
So
I thought it was over the top.
Okay, well, while you still got the mic real quick, then talk about the flip side.
Oh, man. Talk about the battle between, I know you call her Darlene, I keep saying Loretta and whatnot. That last board scene, the board scene. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. The back and forth on whatnot. Of course, my mind, I was like, do you mean to tell me we're not going to see Loretta Devine in the series no more? Is she kicked out? I do like her in the series. I thought it was interesting. The back and forth still. I don't want to go too far, but I thought it was interesting because it was like you see that there's hidden animosity between them between mm-hmm. them two. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, okay, we're going tit for tat, tat for tit. And again, if it wasn't for Darlene trying to push her out,
mm-hmm.
and then she had the idea, okay, well, let me do a sneak release of something and get some strings. So now she has some ammunition to go into the board meeting with. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it was like Darlene, she kind of, not knowing, pushed her own demise by going
mm-hmm.
to that extreme.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think, you know what I'm saying? She, you know, was just saying, you know, well, she caused her own demise with that. Goes on the mind. I thought it was interesting that back and forth, that dialogue going back and forth. Yeah.
Okay. Shantice, you got 60 seconds to discuss this whole Danita being kicked out to now the table being turned. Literally, with Darlene having to face, you know, the makeup.
I saw that coming. I actually thought it was going to happen sooner. And what the thing that just really came to mind is, you know, again, like it was said, you know, y'all set up these companies because you want the appeal of how it looks, and then the company ends up kicking you out. You know, and we've heard about it a lot of times, we've witnessed it a lot of times, that you put the company together, you put the board members together, and these are the same members that then vote you out and replace you. And a lot of times you only have board members and stuff, just like in the church, because of the image and the appeal of it. To have a board makes you seem more, you know, real, like this is a real company, and, you know, we're really about business and the prestige. Now you're not even there. You know, so it's like you did set yourself up, you know, for this, and you really thought you were invincible, and then you ended up getting escorted out with your platinum record. So.
I love the intensity in the meeting. I thought they were the two. I have to say, you know, not thinking much of Yolanda Adams' acting. It came across well, the dynamic between the two of them. You could tell that this was the chickens coming home to roost. The hatred and the animosity between the two of them really came to a head, and how it, like you said, Brother Ains, you know, you actually pushed your own, you know, self out the door, because by Danita revealing all the stuff you did, you could literally see, I thought the reaction, the silent reactions of the board members, it was classic. You know, they didn't have to say a word, but you were reading them all along. It's like the more the dynamic went between the two of them, the more intense it got, the more they were turned off. You could see them shaking their heads. You could see their facial expressions. You could see their body language. So this was really a nice theatrical, it was almost like a courtroom type of thing where it was just between the two of them. And you just watched this whole kingdom kind of crumble right before Darlene / Loretta's eyes and into her lap, and like Shantice said, she ended up with her one record underneath her arm being escorted out. So I thought that was really, really, really good. I got like 10 minutes to talk about something else, because I want to take us through to the end of episode 6, which was an interesting cliffhanger. But you have this, I'm going to say this part where, you know, Essence and Taj, you know, they're talking, and now, you know, they're in the hospital, and now that they've gotten word that there's nothing wrong with the baby, you know, everybody's all excited, and now, you know, she's kind of talking about getting this cosmetic surgery, blah, 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 blah. And now she, Ainsley said it earlier, she gives Taj, you know, this word that he cannot work with Rebel anymore. And surprisingly enough, you know, to me, you can't be that desperate to say yes, and now you re-propose to her. And I'm just going to push it past there because I definitely want to go into the next episode where now you have the son who actually reveals himself. And Brother Ains, I'm going to give you the first leg on this one. 60 seconds. What you got?
Okay. You know, when he reveals himself, I'm going to try to take to my notes. Okay. You know, I thought of all time, I mean, I thought it was very sincere and you know, like, you know, he tells a story what happened. But what got to me, though, is Donita is like, you know, she wants to keep it a secret. You know, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. To me, you feel like you just have a child. First, you thought it was like a revelation, you know, when you was in the hospital. Now you come to, you had this big blowout with your mom, and she tells you that he died, if he lies, or whatever the case may be. You find out that he is, and he's giving you proof. And you want to keep, and the first thing in your mind is like, no, I got to keep this a secret. You know, it shows to me, it just goes to her mentality. It's like, what's the cover up? And this is your child. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, you want to cover up your child? And it's like, okay, no. Okay, 1 minute. Let me figure out how I'm going to tell the family and stuff like that. It was more about protecting what she got to do. You know, it was more of a selfish reason in trying to keep it a secret. And that's the part that got to me about with her. I was like, oh, come on now. Really? Come on, man. You know, so.
Was a twist. That was a twist. That was definitely a twist. You would think that, you know, she would want to, you know, like you said, share with the world. You know, now you're like, oh, my gosh, my child is really alive. My mom told me the child was dead last episode. You know, I thought that the child was just kind of floating out here, but mom says the child is dead, died from SIDS and all of this kind of stuff. And now I realize that this child is alive. 60 seconds, Shantice. I thought that Calvin knew. He doesn't know.
I thought that was extremely disgusting for him to ask, who's my father?
Oh.
And you shake your head like you were some prostitute who slept with everybody, so you couldn't answer the question. You know, so what's the point in you, again, so you asking, you know, whoever prayed for me, come. It was all about you, again, all about you. And I was like, God, this must be some serious anointing you have on this man, because I don't know if I could pray for you after that. You telling me you still want to keep me a secret, and then I'm going to ask you, would you like me to pray for you? Somebody need to pray for me right now. So that, I was like, Jesus, your power is mighty, because that was just all the way, and you could see the hurt in his eyes.
Yes,
like,
yes.
So it's all about, I know you have a family, but so I still don't matter. I still don't matter. Even after I've become selfless, and I'm telling you that God asked me to come here on your behalf, and now something as simple, even if you said your father is this, but look, can the three of us sit down and talk, and before this becomes the world's news, let us, you know, reunite and stuff, because that's completely understandable, because, again, we all see what the world does with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but is this all about you? And I was like, this continues to show how disgusting she is.
Mm-hmm.
And even with God extending himself yet again to you, you don't deserve to be reunited with your child. You don't deserve for your child to do anything good for you. You're still making it about you, and you're still keeping up these lies. It was just disgusting.
Yeah, it was drastic. That was drastic. When he asked, may I ask who my father is or what's his name, whatever, and she shook her head, I almost fell out the chair. I was like, yo, really? And not even understanding. And this is, you know, I have Pastor KL on, and this is, I'm going to turn this into the segue into our church folk segment. You know, we've been talking about the fact that Deacon Kirk, has been talking about this honesty this whole time, from last season to this season. He's been talking about, as her advisor, he's been talking about her being honest, talking about her telling the truth. Even Israel Horton comes to visit her. And, you know, he talks to her for a little bit, and he says to her, hey, you know, the truth is going to come out. God always reveals the truth, even though we don't want him to. And here, like Shanti said, you know, for your benefit, the God sends your son, your adult son, and here you are trying to keep it a secret, not only from the world, but from your family. And, you know, what does it say about this, you know, secrecy? And I'm going to say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Shantice. Good morning, Brother Angel. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Doing well.
All righty. You know, she's been, Danita, Yolanda Adams, has been warned over and over and over again about her honesty and how her dishonesty is really holding up her progression. And she's at this point where her memory is back. However, her voice is still not back. And now her son arrives, and she still doesn't want him to tell the truth. What does this do for our walk and our blessings and gifts being possibly hindered when we do not tell the truth?
Well, first of all, anything in the dark is going to come to light. Anything built on a lie will definitely crumble. You know, God can't completely use you unless you're completely honest. You know, you got to let some things go, and you have to tell some things. You know, they were overcome, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. You know, you have to speak it in order for God to fix it.
You know, well, needless to say, ain't no fixing going on, because she still ain't got the gift, you know, that she really, 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 you know, is needing, and that's made her famous. And, you know, so, you know, I'll talk about our little cliffhanger right before we close down this episode. But, you know, it's really something to watch, that she's holding up her entire family from knowing about this son. Her son, who's just revealed himself, is now being hurt all over again, finding out that his mother does not even want to tell her family that, you know, he exists, and not even giving him a name or the name of the father. I want to move on to something else that Brother Ainsley brought up. There was the car accident with Essence, and where everybody thought that the baby would have been harmed. And when they get the news, her and the baby's father get the news that, you know, the baby's going to be well, her words were, I manifested healing by meditation. The universe has blessed my womb. And he says, no, well, God answered prayers. Let's talk about that for a little while and how this whole universe and meditation has seemed to kind of taken over for some people where God should be given the credit, Pastor K.L.
Well, you hit it on the nose. I mean, people, they want to create stuff. They want to create reasons why stuff happens. You know, I was lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. And, you know, God had his hand on you all this time. You know, I knew you before you was created. You know, I ordained you for such a time like this. So people have to realize that it's not because of what you think, because you were sitting down with your legs crossed and meditating. No, it's because God saw it fit not to have you die. God saw it fit not to have you exposed. You know, I say a lot of times God won't expose you because of the people. Because if he exposed you, he lose more than just you. So sometimes, you know, you're in God's ark of safety for a reason.
What's the danger, would you say, in not acknowledging the fact that, you know, God is the end all and be all, and you want to throw this out to some universe?
Well, the danger is if God ever decides to take the ark of safety from around you or take the hedge from around you, then you are vulnerable to the wolves. You know, that's the danger when you no longer think that, or you see that you don't really have the power that you thought you had, that it was only God that kept you. At that point, it may be too late.
Too late. What does that mean to you, Shantice, when Pastor K.L. says you don't give this acknowledgement? You got 60 seconds to talk about, you know, too late. What is too late? What could too late mean?
The switch tip yesterday. Being spiritually blind, because even in our time of, you know, before we give our lives officially, before we get baptized, there has to be some level of spiritual awareness, obviously, because we do not want God on our own. So he has to give us some level of spiritual insight so that he can now look attracted to us. So now we can consciously make that decision of, do I want to stay where I am and contend with this slow world, or do I want to go with God and allow him to show me the level of elevation I can have. So when you continue, and it's funny because I just said that to someone last week, there's some higher power. I was like, yeah, miss me with all that. I don't do the higher power. I'm talking about God. Well, then say God. When you're talking to me, please say God. I don't do the higher power because that's a way for people to not have to acknowledge God and say his name. Say his name. Say Jesus. Say God, or we're not going to talk about him at all. And it may have come across harsh buying here, but this is why. Because you start now to tell God that I'd rather be spiritually blind. And now, as Pastor K.L. said, when he takes that gift away from you, now you're left to only see things the way everyone else in the world sees things. So now you only see Mother Nature and the higher power and the universe and all of that. So it is very much possible that you will not have the ability to see God for who he is. That's the danger in it.
Brother Ains, you know, what are we talking about here? You know, Pascal says it may be too late. What is too late?
As Pastor K.L. said, too late is when God removes his grace and mercy upon us and stuff like that. If he just removes it and you start to, one, you don't have to even remove it from us. I mean, when you just look, just observe, you know, when you see what other people are going through, or what you could have gone through. If you just think about, look, I might be in a bad situation, but I could be in a worse. It could be worse. When you see other people going through major catastrophes and stuff like that, they say, "Oh, thank God that's not me, because I could be in that situation." And it's like, thank God, I believe in God. And as Shanti said, I'm not thinking about no higher power. And I think I manifested this good outcome. It's because of my own doing. It's too late if you start thinking like I have the power to do this. You know, if you start coming to this agnostic or atheist kind of belief, then it's too late. But as long as I have too late to me means. And you start getting along those lines and whatnot, because you don't want to go too far. When you go too far, and when God removes His grace and mercy upon you, then it's too late. That is late.
Let's shift gear here a little bit, and let's go back and, you know, something that we've talked about in this episode. We talked about it in other episodes, but I want to talk about this with Pastor KL, you know, where, you know, you have Rebel who is from the streets. She started singing the gospel. You know, they put it in there, you know, off the streets, so she knows absolutely nothing about God. She's singing about God. She's singing these lyrics that she cannot identify with. And now, you know, she's, because of desperation and things are not moving fast enough, she now goes back to singing, or she goes to singing secular music. And she has this producer, and, you know, he's written some songs, and she's not feeling it, and that she's not feeling the secular music, because now the words that she's been singing from the gospel side is now beginning to take root, and she's seeing how the words in the gospel music changes lives. And why is this so important that we pay attention to this transition and what it can do? So let's just take it from, why is this so important that we pay attention to the transition that's taking place in our life when we begin to see how God moves? Ooh, I like that one.
Who you asking?
Pastor KL.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't make that clear. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it's important. First of all, you know, when you sing gospel, you know, gospel brings life. Gospel tells a real story. You know, there are a lot of folks who are going through, you know, what you are singing and what you are portraying in this song. You are giving hope to a lot of people, and you as the singer, if you would, you should be aware of this stuff. First of all, it should hit home first. Anytime you minister, it should minister to you first, you know, and because ministry begins at home and then spread abroad. So you should realize what kind of gift and anointed that you have. Now remember, gifts come without repentance. You know, there are a lot of folks who has gifts, but has no power. You know, they're, no matter how well you sing, some folks would never be touched by your gift. But it's by the anointing that destroys the yoke, and the anointing that would move into people's lives and bring about a change.
Okay. So I'm going to throw this out there. And I'll start with you, Brother Ainsley. So Pastor KL says, you know, well, gospel music brings life. It speaks to, you know, what's going on in people's lives. Well, love songs do as well. You know, a great love song relayed well can definitely describe what a person's feeling, change a life. What's the difference?
Oh, man, it's a huge difference. You know, just this past weekend, I think it was Saturday evening, I just happened, I said, you know what, I just want to hear, I turned up to an R&B station, right, I streamed some R&B, right, I said, let me hear what's currently going on and stuff like that, right, and so, like, I know, like my wife, She really can't, anything profanity, she can't, she don't want to deal with the movies. It got some profanity. She muted, turn it off. I can deal with it a little bit more than she can, right? However, this Saturday, I'm driving and listening to the lyrics of what they're talking about. Okay. It was just this song about F this person, I'm cheating, yada, yada. Okay. Next song is on the same line. And it's both young men and young women. The lyrics, the subject, the topic they're talking about, I'm like, is this where we are at now? Yeah, I mean, yeah, the music, the lyrics makes a difference. But the subject matter, yeah, a love story, it's subjective, but there's sometimes it could be something wholesome about it. But what I heard Saturday, I'm like for half an hour, I'm like, this is nothing but straight, I hate to say it like this, but it's like straight trash. And I'm like, my God, no wonder, and the people you listen to this, this gets into your psyche, this gets into your mental. Like, this is okay. This is where we're at now. This is what's different. What gospel is, you know, it's totally different. It's supposed to be uplifting. You are proclaiming in one form, what kind of, if you want to do traditional, contemporary, gospel, and whatever it may be, you're uplifting and you're encouraging others. And so the lyrics, yeah, it makes a huge difference. And I couldn't believe what I was listening to this weekend, Saturday. I'm like, oh, my God. And it was like duets. I'm like, there was nothing like the prior R&B, say, from the 90s or 80s or 2000s and stuff like that. I'm like, it was like so demonic, but dressed up in a good music sort of point of view. You know what I'm saying? So it was eye-opening for me, honestly. Eye-opening for me. And so, yeah, it was incredible. So our music is desperately needed.
Okay. Shateesh, you know, well before your time, you had My Girl and, you know, all these kind of songs that, you know, did change lives, you know. And then we moved into music that definitely changed lives, where they said, you know, the music caused people to commit crimes and, you know, treat people in a certain way. So that changed lives as well. But even as a millennial, how have you seen gospel music change even regular secular music, you know, and just kind of still, it's still changing lives in one way, where secular music has definitely taken a turn and changed lives in another way?
I see it from the aspect of how God overall, over everything, is allowing the real fruit of whatever that is to be shown. So we understand that anything outside of God is vanity in the aspect of emptiness. And we're seeing that whether it's secular music, secular thoughts, secular movies, secular careers, it all ends up leading to emptiness. Versus when you pursue things in God and what God has for you, He's allowing you to see that there's some real fruit and substance from it. So like Brother Ainsley said, it's one of the reasons why I don't listen to the regular radio anymore, and why everybody wonder why I still watch Good Times and Martin Wayne's Brothers, because the stuff that comes out now is just empty, is trash, is garbage. Versus, you know, like you said, Pastor Steph, you know, when you think about My Girl and all of that, yeah, it was secular, but you saw that people actually cared about what they produced. No one cares about what they produce now, really, for the most part, unless you're in God, because God calls for a level of elevation. God does not accept, oh, I wake up today and I can get on Instagram and declare that I'm a songwriter and I haven't written one song. He's going to check you. He's going to check me on that. So it really shows the difference in who you allow to lead you. If you're secular, whether you want to accept it or not, you're allowing the devil to lead you. You may see some fruit, but it's very short-lived, and it ends up to emptiness. If you're godly and you're allowing God to lead you, sometimes you don't always see the tangible fruit, but God allows you to see how it is going to lead, and it is leading to substance. And now it's like he has to allow you to see it, because it's real easy for you to switch back to the devil. Because the devil is going to show you instantaneously, like, oh, yeah, you can have this, you can have that, you can have that. And that's why you see the difference in the entertainment field. And you know, you do have your mishaps, you know, your few exceptions. But as a whole, you see the drastic difference in those who care about their fruits and those who just want the 5 minutes of what I can show right now.
All right. Ah. Pastor KL, there was a scene in this set of episodes where Erica Campbell is going on tour, and she's gathering women to take this tour with her. And she goes to this Rebels, you know, this is the character we're talking about, who they took off the street and, you know, they put her in the gospel arena. And, you know, she's had some problems, adapting to the gospel and the Christian world. And so she's kind of dabbled publicly with the fact that she's, you know, still getting her feet wet with the contemporary music, and she went back to stripping and things like that, as far as the people can, you know, public can see. And so Caesar, who she's addressing, Erica, he says, I got just a woman. And so he says, a rebel. And she was like, oh, yeah, I know her. He says, she can sing. And she was like, I know. And he was like, oh, no, you know, she's really good. She says, I know. But the issue for Erica Campbell going on tour was, I don't need anybody messy. I don't need, she's got too much stir, and I don't think she's ready yet for the touring, because I don't know how people are going to receive her. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean to people who are out here who are trying to tour and, you know, become well-known and make their money and, you know, hang with heavy hitters like an Erica Campbell and a Tasha Cobb and, all of those, you know, big gospel people. Okay, we'll let you throw yourself in there. Go ahead, KL.
This is what I would say. First, I just want to, for 60 seconds, just address the other comment that you asked, and you asked what's the difference between the love songs and the gospel songs. Well, one is that the love songs speak to your natural man. Gospel songs speak to your spiritual man, which is a difference. The second difference is that, you know, we continue to plant seeds within ourselves. And depending on what you're listening to will determine what seed you plant in yourself. Now, remember that any seed that's planted deep enough has to grow. But what it produces is the difference. So that's what I want to say about that. The second thing is that, listen, guilty by association. You know, if I know you ain't living nothing, we can't hang together. Because then they're going to begin to think that I'm not living nothing. You know, they can know your story. They can know your testimony. But once they see you with Pookie, oh, he must have backslid. He must have went back. So there's going to always be a question about you. And for some of us, you know, we fought and we struggled and we went through too much stuff for this anointing for you to come and ride my coattail and drag me back. So sometimes you got to lead them where they are.
Wow. Shantees, Pastor KL says sometimes you got to leave them where they are. You reach for too much. What say you?
I agree. It's well, I can see it from both angles. I can see why Caesar was pushing, and I can see how like you could tell Erica Campbell was like, I understand, and I want to be able to say yes, but the way her image is set up and the way her mouth is set up and the way her attitude is set up, you know, and I remember her when she was on Ayanla Fix My Life for Leandria, and she was, you know, saying to somebody something like, you know, we have to fight as Christian artists to be taken serious in a lot of aspects, because people figure because we're singing for God, we shouldn't get paid a certain way, or we should accept you not paying us at all. So, you know, normally, okay, this is my career. When I go and perform, you know, let's say, okay, you give me a certain amount before I perform, and once I leave the stage, you give me the other amount, but you don't feel like you have to give me that. I should be able to wait for it because I'm a Christian singer, so I should understand, like stuff like that. So, you know, and then on top of that, being a woman in that industry, you know, you have to make sure you're carrying yourself a certain way just to be taken serious. Then on top of that, you being a Christian artist, so I understand the protection that she has. If this is something that God has given me to do, and God has handpicked each woman on this roster, I cannot allow, and I understand God has brought us all a mighty long way, but if you still coming with this project mentality, and now I gotta worry about you throwing the mic at, you know, while you performing, or your boyfriend coming up on stage, but see, all this stuff, like, we can't have this. Because there is a certain level of conduct we have to make sure this event brings. You know, forget about necessarily the image that this event brings, because we're presenting God. So she may not be all the way there in her relationship yet, but has she allowed God to elevate her enough to where she realizes where she is and how she's supposed to act? Because there's many people who can be put in any arena and function in any arena, and it's not necessarily because they live such a holy life, but because they understand, I do as the Romans do, in that manner. So I saw it from both angles, and when they were like sitting at the table, I was just sitting there saying, she don't even understand how she has jeopardized yet another leg of elevation she can have, because you're not in the room witnessing this, but yet the intern is sitting there witnessing it. And I'm like, I hope this intern is paying attention, because even though she's been showing she has some sense, you better keep your sense good, because they could be talking about you next. And when she said, is there anyone else? And he looked at her, and I'm like, see, look at how you could then make yourself a candidate where, you know, because she's been pushed out there as an artist, it would be natural for her to be suggested. But because you're the one with the good conduct, and you're the one with the positive mannerisms and temperament and all of that, you have now made yourself eligible. So I was just like, she didn't even realize how she just jacked herself all up, because it should have been a no-brainer. She just should have been able to drop your name, and it would have been like, oh, okay, cool. You know, she may not, you know, be baptized yet. She may not, but she carries herself a certain way. She is talented. So I can get with that. But we just mess ourselves all up.
All right. Brother Ainsley, what's your thought on this whole, you know, Erica's like, I know she's good. I know she's good. But what say you?
Yeah, because she was like, you know, she going on tour with KL and Tasha Cobbs, everybody else. Right? Yeah. But the thing, her concern was, and the character in the show, was this is about ministry. Yeah, it's a tour, but it's about ministry. And, you know, a ministry is being of service. So, and it's like, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, that just shows you, yeah, you can have a good, as Pastor Kale said, you have a gift, but, you know, is the anointing there? and are you going to be of good service? And somebody who's in charge of a tour, you know, you just don't want anybody and everybody just because they can sing. You want somebody to be effective and be able to effectively minister. It ain't so much as about singing the song, but can you minister through the song? Are you the one who's allowed to be used on stage? Suppose God just wants to change something up. Are you going to allow God to do that? Are you in that touch with him? And your reputation precedes you. You know, yeah, God can use anybody at any given time. But when it comes to ministry, you have to take it's a certain higher level, a certain level of more responsibility, and you got to be a little more cautious with that. So I definitely can understand it. You definitely, you know, I was kind of rooting for Rebel, but you definitely can understand it's like, nah, I don't know.
Because truthfully,
and the storyline, she was just in the club with X. So now you want to go on tour. You want to go on tour with Erica Campbell. So it wasn't the right move, you know. Yeah, and Brother K.O., he wasn't going to like it either, so.
All righty. Okay. We have this cliffhanger, and you have where she, Danita, is, you know, she knows she can't sing. The gift has not returned, despite her memory has returned. The gift has not. She's been asked to do this promotional presentation where she's singing, and, you know, she can get this this booking of this Danita and Friends concert or show, whatever you want to call it. And she stages this show where she has a live pianist, and it appears as though he's playing, but in actuality they're playing a recording, and she's lip-syncing, and somebody leans onto the board and stops the recording. So now she's exposed. So, Pastor Kale, I want you to close with exposed because of your lies, because you have refused to become humble enough, you're now exposed.
When you keep trying, God, and I mean trying, and when they say, you know, you're trying my nerves, when you keep trying God will give you what you ask for after a while. You know, it's like the child who wants candy and candy and candy, and mama keeps saying no. And after a while, he says, okay, that's what you want, you have it. And mama knows you're going to have a stomachache. You know, God knows this ain't it might be what you want, but he knows this ain't what you need right now. And God is trying to shield you from that thing that you want that's going to cause drastic drama in your life. And a lot of times we keep, for a lack of a better term, hell hacking God. God, you said, this is what I want. God. And I'm not ready for this shit. I'm not ready to do that. But I know you can do this for me. You know, and we get to a point where God releases himself from you. When you just so defiant, you know what I mean? That you can no longer, no one can ever teach you anything anymore. No one can ever tell you anything anymore. When God can't speak to you, and when God can no longer speak through you, that's a problem. That's a problem. You are no longer an asset to the kingdom because he can't get anything across through you. So that the people that he has for you, they'll never get to the next level because you're always in a place where your feet can't be ordered, where your mouth can't be ordered, where your actions cannot be ordered by God because you wanted to do it all your way. I tell you, humble yourself. Trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall and will direct your path.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Kale, for joining us today. And thank you for your contribution in today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day. Wonderful words. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Brother Ainsley. Oh, that's the cliffhanger. And it looks like we've got a quick pause in our last two episodes that's airing. What do you think? And where do you hope it goes?
you will hope that after being exposed that you come clean with everything, but it probably not going to happen. It just goes to show you, God could have a sense of humor, you know. He was like, cause she just being exposed for everything. And so much that, if I'm not mistaken, she ran out the studio. Just
right,
like completely
right.
embarrassed
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
right? So I would hope that next episode, I know she's going to be probably upset, you know, what happened and so forth and so on. But I saw it coming because I was like, this is a bad lip sync job, too. it was a bad lip sync job.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it coming. And so I believe, I don't know how she's going to come out of that. I'm like, at this point, maybe it's going to force her to, you know, just to come forth. And hopefully, is she going to bring out the issue with, you know, her son? You might as well just expose everything. You know, just come clean. Just come clean. Come clean about your son. Come clean about your voice not being there. Her mother will like it because she can probably get some insurance money. Remember that?
Okay.
I think that's where things are going to go. Yeah.
All right. Shantice, this is a cliffhanger. It looks like we may have a little pause in the follow-up final two episodes because I don't see a date that they're planning to air these two. They might, you know, within another week, they might put it out there. But where do you hope to see this go?
So humility, sorry. It's like, how much further down do you want to go after that? Because it was already exposed that you were faking. I don't know why I keep thinking dementia. You were faking having amnesia. And now you were faking with your voice. Everyone knew you could really sing before. But now some people may even question that. So now your whole life is a big question to everyone. So you might as well just turn on over to God, truly. Go to Deacon Kirk Franklin and let him, whatever epiphanies he's going to give you, and just walk back into, and you know, back in front of everyone with humility. Because anything else is just, I don't know how much further you want to try to dig yourself into this ditch you've been digging. So I just hope she comes back straight up humble, and because this is a mess, a bigger mess now.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ainsley and Shantice, for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Take care.
You too.
Thank you. All righty. Let's get to this benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13:14. These two particular, episodes were loaded. They were loaded. And I have to say, you know, I've said this before, but I will say it again. You know, a lot of messages from these episodes that I don't think we got last year. I think we had to, you know, really dig through a whole bunch of stuff. But I think the writers have definitely shown us something here this go-round where they want to include a whole lot of messages. And, you know, there have been, you know, a lot of different things that we can extract, you know, from, you know, these particular episodes that are definitely life changers. You know, we're talking about the music and the fact that, you know, hey, you can write or hear a wonderful love song and it can change your life. And, you know, when you hear these songs years later, you remember where you were when you first heard it or who you were in love with when you first heard it and, you know, so forth and so on. And, you know, it changes your life. However, you know, when you have a song that is written from, you know, in the gospel or the Christian genre, it like, I love the way Pastor KL said, you know, the love songs speak to the person. It speaks to our flesh. But the Christian music, Christian lyrics speak to, you know, our spirit. And unfortunately, people go, and Shanti talked about this a little bit, you know, from what Erica has said in the past, Erica Campbell, people go for secular music a lot of times because that's where the money is. There's no holes barred, as Brother Ainsley said. You can say and do anything these days, and you're going to have people that's going to buy your music. I don't care how trashy it is. I don't care how explicit it is. I don't care. I mean, it got to a point where in the middle of the day, years ago, I played, you know, I was playing my radio, I think coming home from work or out on a lunch break or something. It was like midday, like 2 o'clock, and the lyrics that were playing on the regular radio during the day, I was like, oh, what is that? You know, normally years ago, we would have to wait till after 10 to hear these things, after 12 to hear these things. But now it's, again, no holds barred. It's whatever sells, whatever people like. But the one thing we can say about Christian music, gospel music, it literally changes your life. It helps you to see that you need a change in your life. It helps you to see that you need elevation, and this world cannot elevate you the way God can. The change that this world, quote unquote, can give you, God is unmatchable. How God can turn your life around cannot be compared to anything or anyone. No one can give this to you. No one has this to offer you. The enemy can only put up this facade for a little while. You know, it may all appear to be gravy. It may all appear to be good and wonderful and lovely, and you may feel like you're getting somewhere, but at the end of the day, the rug will be pulled from underneath your feet, and you will come into a crash landing. But the one thing I love about God, and I'm sure my brothers and my sisters can say, is God is consistent, and you ain't never got to worry about God shocking you or throwing you for a loop unless it's a good one. Ah, he's full of surprises, full of gifts, full of love, full of things that you could never even fathom God has for you. So I implore you to trust God and let the words that come across in our Christian music change your life for real. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where is wow? Wednesday, and we get to hear what the ladies have to say. Until then, I love you. Mm-hmm.